Good to be here with you tonight. I've enjoyed today again, as well as the other days. As our brother was sharing in the devotional tonight, I had to think, you know, isn't it sad when people serve the Lord for a good portion of their lives, and when they're almost reaching the end of the journey, they somehow kind of give up. And I think that's sad. I'm thankful for the faithful older people amongst us, and I would just encourage you to keep living out your faith. Those of us who are younger need to see the example of the older ones that just keep on. We need that. That means a lot to us. Tonight, the title for our message is, Life Will Never Be the Same. Life will never be the same. Pastor Jamie Coots was a Kentucky preacher whose sermons involved handling deadly snakes. And he actually ended up dying from a snake bite. He refused medical treatment because he relied on God's protection to save him from the venom. Mr. Coots was bitten on his right hand by a rattlesnake at his church, which was the Full Gospel Temple in Jesus' name, located in Middlesboro, Kentucky. Emergency workers were called, but the preacher went home before they reached the church. The medics went to Mr. Coots' house and spent about 30 minutes trying to persuade him to accept treatment. However, he would not budge because he had the belief, the conviction that God would protect the true believer from snake bites. So he refused the medical aid. The emergency workers returned some 60 minutes later, and Mr. Coots was dead. The family was in shock, but they remain strong in their faith. Mr. Coots has been a snake handling preacher for 20 years. He has survived a previous snake bite, one which cost him his finger. Apparently, snake handling is a religious ritual that is still practiced in a small number of holiness or charismatic holiness churches today. Snake handling, speaking in tongues, consuming poison are some of the practices that are done in an effort to prove Holy Spirit anointing. Apparently, these snake handlers use the words of Jesus in Luke chapter 10, verse 19, where he says, "Behold, I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." That's one of the scriptures that they use. They also use the account where Paul was bitten by a poisonous snake on the island of Melita to show their support for this practice. Apparently, a large number of states have made snake handling illegal. In fact, about a year before his death, Mr. Coots was at odds with the law and had to surrender his vipers as part of the plea deal. I guess he must have kept a few back. I don't know. Some churches have required snake handling as an evidence of salvation. I'm thankful that that's not a requirement here. I'm thankful that that's not a requirement in our churches. But how can we know, how can we be sure of the Holy Spirit's anointing and presence? How can we know if God's Spirit is within a person's life? How can we know if the Holy Spirit is manifesting Himself in the life and conduct of a believer? Does God want us to test His Spirit or prove His Spirit by handling snakes or speaking in tongues? Or are there other tests that we must use to determine if God's Spirit is in an activity or a doctrine or a person's life? When Jesus was tempted by Satan to jump off the tower of the temple to prove his divinity and power, Jesus said, "Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." God expects us to use common sense that he gave to us. He does not expect us to break one law in an effort to prove another. Don't defy the law of gravity to prove God's protection. God doesn't expect us to play with snakes to prove that he saved us. He doesn't expect us to speak in tongues to prove that his Holy Spirit lives within. God's desire is that his Spirit is demonstrated in the regeneration of a life That's what he's looking for. He's looking for the fruit of a spirit, of his spirit, the fruit of his spirit in a person's life. God's fruit is shown by the difference in conduct. That's how it can be seen. God can keep you from dying from a snake bite if you're witnessing back in the jungle. I believe that. Yes, he can. He can make you speak in tongues. He can help you speak in tongues. If he wants you to witness to someone who doesn't understand English, yes, he can. So often man desires to experience the supernatural without completely giving his will to God. The signs and wonders that are sought many times are to bring honor and glory and fame to self, or to seek an experience or a spiritual high. I've been thinking about a message that I would like to preach sometime, and something to the effect of the danger of experience-oriented Christianity. I think it's something we need to be very, very careful, that we have our focus in the right spot. Turn your Bibles with me to Romans chapter 8. We want to look at the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and what that produces in the life of a believer. That's what we want to look at tonight. Romans chapter 8, verses 1 to 16. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be, the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. If you have a pen and paper with you tonight and you want to draw a little illustration, draw three circles. Draw a small circle in the center. Draw a little larger circle around that, and then a little larger circle yet around that. I'd like to just look a little bit at how the spirit of man is in the center. That center circle is the spirit of man. The second circle surrounding that is the soul. And finally, the outer circle is the body. The scriptures are clear that we are a three-part being. And when we become born again, when a person gives their life to Jesus, they become born in the Spirit. And Jesus enters into their heart, into their spirit, and controls the life, the appetites of that individual. And the longer a person is a Christian, and if they're a growing, thriving Christian, that inner circle gets bigger, and more of their life becomes spirit-controlled. Now, yes, all of our lives need to be spirit-controlled, but as you grow in your Christian experience, as you experience sanctification through Jesus Christ, that inner circle ought to expand. That's the way it ought to work. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 23 says, And I pray God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in that verse, you will notice that the first part of us that it speaks about is the spirit. Your whole spirit, soul, and body. This verse starts at the inside out. And every successful Christian tonight needs to understand that that's where it needs to begin. It needs to begin from the inside out. That is the only way that it will be successful. The word spirit in the Greek means breath. It means life. James 2 verse 26 says that the body without the spirit is dead. Ecclesiastes 12 verse 7 says your spirit comes from God, and when you die, it goes back to God who gave it. Your spirit is at the center of your being. What happens in your spirit affects your life both in time and in eternity. That which controls your spirit controls your life. You make choices based on who is in control of your spirit. Your spirit is the energy, the force that keeps you going. It's the life that comes from God. Your spirit is what makes you God conscious. Your conscience is part of your spirit. Jesus gives us a glimpse into man's post-time or eternal experience with the account of the rich man and Lazarus. The rich man's ability to choose right or wrong was gone when he ended up down there in hell. However, his feeling and his memory was still there. That was a capacity that he still had. However, the opportunity to choose who he was going to serve, that was past. That was over. He could no longer choose that. The door was shut for him. We worship with our spirit. That which controls your spirit will determine who you worship and serve. Jesus said in John chapter 4, verse 24, those who worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. What are the results when we let the Spirit of Christ control our spirit or our life? The United States Declaration of Independence states that its citizens, and that I guess is you here tonight, it states that its citizens have three unalienable rights. They have the right to life, they have the right to liberty, and they have the right to the pursuit of happiness. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And supposedly the government protects those rights for you. As citizens of heaven, as children of God, I'm going to call them privileges. We have three privileges as well. Three privileges, and that's what I would like to look at. Romans 8 verses 1 to 16 names three of those privileges, three of those benefits, three of those things that result when we let the Spirit of Christ live in and control that inner circle, the core of our lives. The first result that I see here of the Spirit being in control, it's not the ability to handle a timber rattlesnake. I didn't see anything like that here. But rather, result number one is the liberty of the Spirit. Someone who has the Spirit of God in control of that center circle has the liberty of the Spirit. Verse 1. There's no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Verse 2. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free. That speaks of liberty. Are you experiencing the liberty of the Spirit in your life tonight? It's a liberty that's not found anywhere else in the world. You know, it seems incomprehensible how letting someone else control you, control your life, control the part of you that God has let you control, if you choose to, how letting him control that could ever bring freedom. It doesn't make sense to a carnal mind. But to those of us who have given our lives to Jesus, it makes a lot of sense. It makes all the difference. Our will and our desires are very selfish. And that selfishness always brings guilt it always brings condemnation. But you notice here in verse 1, it says, there is no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Jesus has taken that guilt away, and he's replaced it with liberty. Tonight, your spirit is controlled either by the law of the Spirit or by the law of sin. If you allow selfishness and pride to control your spirit, it will bring fear. It will bring condemnation. It will bring pain. If you give your spirit, if you give your devotion, your life to Jesus and allow him to control it, it'll bring you freedom and happiness. I've referred to our dog before at home, but he needed some training. And if he obeys our laws, if he stays out of the flower beds and doesn't go running down to the neighbors and stays off the road, if he gives his will to his master's will, he experiences freedom. He really does. However, if he takes his own way and he follows his own will, guess what? He gets tied up. And that's the way it works in our lives as well. When we give our spirit to Christ, when we're reborn, when we're born again of the Spirit, we're no longer subject to the law of sin, but we're subject to the law of the Spirit, and that brings life and freedom. People live by either law, and they must accept the consequences of either law. Verse 15 speaks about the spirit of bondage. Now, all of us know tonight what it's like to be a slave to sin, to have sin control our lives. All sin has its roots in self. It might be lust. You feed lust with your senses. You feed that when you're not born again, or when you don't allow the Spirit to be in control of your spirit, you feed that inner circle with the outer circle. But that changes when a person is born again. We must choose to feed that affection from the inside out. The Spirit must become the driving force in our lives. A person that's living under the law of sin is caught in sin's bondage. They're also living in fear. They're living in the fear of exposure. They're living in the fear of getting caught. There's fear of God's judgment. You know, a person that is not right with God is a very fearful person. And we all know what it's like to live in that condemnation, to live in that fear. Verse 12 here talks about being in debt to the flesh. The spirit of competition, the spirit of materialism is a creditor that is never satisfied. If our spirit's affection is the status, the position that things and money brings, we will be in bondage to that. We fear that we will maybe lose it all. What if the stock market crashes, or the economy goes flat, or the frost damages the corn yield, or it doesn't rain enough, or it rains too much? See, a person that has that at the core of their being and in control of their life, they live in fear when those things are threatened. Hearts that are not under the control of God's Spirit continually grapple for control. They continually live in fear because they're afraid of losing control. When the Spirit of God is in control of our life and our spirit, there is liberty. We can rest in Him. We can leave our future to Him. We can leave our plans to Him. We can leave everything to Him and simply follow His will. Our affections and emotions are subject to His Spirit, to His desire, to His intentions. We love what God loves. We don't get angry and frustrated when things don't go like we want them to, because we trust Him, because He knows what is best for us. When the law of the Spirit controls our spirit, it gives us power to crucify those affections and lusts that bring us into bondage. 1 Peter 2 verse 11 says, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul." Dear friends, tonight the war is on for your soul. Satan is aiming to get control of your spirit, to get control of your life, by getting you to worship your affections and your desires. Any time that we put our affections or desires ahead of God's will, that affection becomes an idol, a little bit like what we talked about last night. You know, good, legitimate things can become the object of our affection and crowd God out. You know, it can be a lot of different things. It can be food. You know, some people have trouble with eating too much, and then there's others that have trouble with not eating enough. It can be sleep. It can be recreation. It can be many, many different things. That's why the Bible commands us to love the Lord with our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. You see, love for what God loves needs to be in that inner circle. It needs to be at the core of our lives. What a blessing tonight to find liberty in Christ and be able to worship Him with our entire being and be free from guilt and condemnation. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 17 says, "And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." There is freedom. I'm thankful for that. Galatians 5 verse 1 says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Galatians 5 verse 13, For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty as an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Tonight it's important that we understand that we don't become careless or presumptuous with this freedom that the Spirit brings us when we're born again, when we're born of the Spirit, when the Spirit is in control of that inner circle. Don't become careless or presumptuous. Some people have the idea that liberty has no boundaries. And that is not true. Liberty always has boundaries, but they're for our good, they're for our protection. Some people have the idea that you can go to the beach or the swimming pool and it won't bother you because you're a Christian, because the Spirit of Christ has given you new affections. Well, we all know better than that. We just read the verse where it said, "Abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul." When the Spirit of God is in control of that inner circle, we will make choices that will help to protect the desires that are in the second circle. And we'll also make choices that will help the outer circle not feed the wrong thing in that inner circle. The second result that happens when the Holy Spirit is in control of our spirit is we will have the leadership of the Spirit. Verse 14 talks about this. "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." Our natural man, our human tendency, is not to appreciate being told what to do. We don't like that. We're not made up that way. Submission to authority, taking orders, laying down our opinion is not something we enjoy. And I'm not going to say we have a good excuse, but the problem is all of us have the same problem, and that is that the big I is too often in control in that inner circle. And that's what Jesus has come to change or to help us overcome. But too often, our life, our thinking, our feelings revolve around the big I. We get angry. We get upset when someone crosses our path or when God even changes our plans. It makes us angry. But dear friend, tonight, when you become born again, when you open your spirit to Jesus, when you allow His Spirit to be in charge, you will experience new meaning and new purpose in life. You won't follow the big I around. You won't walk after the flesh. You won't follow your sinful desires. Rather, you will choose to walk after the Spirit. It's a little like the control tower at the airport. That control tower provides leadership. It's at the hub. It's at the center. The air traffic controllers are in constant communication with the planes, giving clearances to pilots for landing and takeoff. Apparently, Hartsfield-Jackson International Airport, right down here in over here in Atlanta, is the busiest airport in the world. There are over 2,600 flights per day to and from Hartsfield-Jackson. That's over 100 flights an hour. That's one every 33 seconds. Actually, the other night when I came here. We drove past the runway, and it was amazing. There was literally jets stacked up in the sky. You could see it really well at night because of their lights, and they were all at different levels, all in different places, but all waiting to land. Can't imagine being the controller at that airport. Apparently one of them was in trouble some time ago for playing a joke on a Delta Airlines pilot, telling him that he couldn't land. And then a few moments later, telling the pilot that he was just kidding, and he can actually land anyway. And by then, the pilot had already aborted the landing, and he'd climbed back up to 40,000 feet. He circled up there for more than an hour before landing safely. I think someone had to look for a new job. Tonight, brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit does not do that to us. He doesn't play jokes on us. You can follow His leading. You can trust His leading. It will be accurate. It will meet your need for wherever you are in life. That is one of the benefits. That's one of the blessings that a Christian has. Is when we can't see through the fog or the dust or whatever life brings to us, we can still have that inner circle controlled by the Spirit of God. And He will lead us. He will guide us. If something is safe and good, He will tell us. If it's dangerous, He will warn us. But you need to let Him be in control, or you will crash mentally and spiritually. Verse 13, if the Spirit is in control of your spirit, you will have the power you need to overcome your selfish desires. You will have the power you need to resist temptation. I read a story some time ago. Apparently, Israel's success in capturing the Golan Heights from Syria during the Six-Day War of 1967 was partially, the success of it was partially due to a man by the name of Eli Cohen. Now, Eli Cohen was an Israeli spy who infiltrated the top levels of Syrian government at that time. He successfully befriended many of the top military officials. He visited many of the Syrian defenses and positions on the Golan Heights. Golan Heights is, I believe, in northern Israel. And part of the 1967 war was capturing that. When he would go back to his apartment, Cohen would transmit messages back to Israeli intelligence about the information that he discovered and about Syrian positions. One day while he was visiting the Syrian bunkers and positions there on the Golan Heights, Cohen suggested to a Syrian official that eucalyptus trees should be planted around their military fortifications. They would provide, he told them, they would provide foliage cover. They would provide shade for the troops. And the Syrians thought that this was a good idea. And so they planted eucalyptus trees around their bunkers and their forts. Well, during the Six-Day War in 1967, Israel was able to capture the Golan Heights in 2 days. And that was because the Syrians' positions were clearly indicated by the eucalyptus trees. Now, Eli Cohen is considered one of Israel's greatest spies, and I believe he was discovered and executed. But I thought that story is an example. Tonight, God's Spirit helps us to identify the enemy's positions and traps when we are led by Him. When He is in control of that inner circle, we do not have to be deceived. We do not have to fall to deception. We don't need to. One of the things that is sweeping our community right now is this idea of rebaptism, being baptized in the name of Jesus only, and speaking in tongues being part of the proof of Holy Spirit baptism. It's one of the things that I think we're going to need to face and understand where we're at. The Holy Spirit. There's people within our Mennonite community that have fallen for this thing. But we don't need to. We can be based solidly on the truth. The Spirit can show us those eucalyptus trees. He can show us those traps if He's in control of that inner circle. John 16, verse 13. Let's just turn back there. John 16, verse 13. Jesus is speaking here of the Spirit. He says, "Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come." The Spirit will lead. He will provide leadership for your life, and He will never lead you wrong. He will guide you into all truth. 1 Peter 1, verse 22, "Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit." We don't have time to turn to 1 Corinthians 2, but there's some beautiful verses there. In 1 Corinthians 2, verse 15, it says that he that is spiritual judgeth all things. And that word judgeth there means to perceive. It means to understand. It means to see or notice something that is not very clear or obvious. He that is spiritual judgeth all things. We're talking here about the leadership that the Holy Spirit provides when He's in control of our lives. Nothing is hidden from Him. When He leads our spirit, we will be able to understand truth and error. Did you know that the coal miners used to take canaries along down into the coal mines with them? And they didn't take them along down there so that they would have music while they work. But the reason they took those little canaries down was to detect carbon monoxide. That was back before the days of, I guess, electronic detection. But these little canaries, with their rapid breathing rate and their small size, their high metabolism, caused them to succumb to the gas before the miners would. So when the miners started to see the little canaries starting to keel over, they knew that it was time to get out of there. The Spirit of God is somewhat that way. He shows us. He guides us. He helps us understand when it's time to get out. Third result, third benefit of the Holy Spirit dwelling within us is we have the life of the Spirit. We have the life of the Spirit. Verse 6, back in Romans chapter 8. We have the life of the Spirit. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. Verse 10 says, "The Spirit is life." Verse 11, it talks about quickening our mortal bodies, which I believe is future. I'd like to think about the life that the Spirit of God brings to our spirit, soul, and body. Tonight, your spirit is what makes you God conscious. You connect with God through your spirit. You worship God through your spirit. When you're born again, you are born of the Spirit. And you open your spirit to Jesus. And His Spirit comes and dwells within you. You're a new person in the Spirit. You become a child of God. Verse 15 and 16 talk about that. We've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we've received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. The Spirit of Christ and our spirit become linked together. We both have the same Father because of our spiritual birth. And then in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 11, it says, Jesus is not ashamed to call us brethren. We become part of God's family when we're born again, when we become born of the Spirit. We find relief from guilt and shame We find deliverance from sin. We find new life in the Spirit. Isn't that wonderful? Are you experiencing that tonight? Dear friends, tonight when Jesus is at the center of your life, it is an abundant life. He said, I am come that ye might have life, and that ye might have it more abundantly. So many people today are trying so hard to find meaning and purpose in life. And they're looking in all the wrong places. They run here, they gallop there, they fly to this island and they climb that mountain. They take cruises, they go and they go and they go. And they never find what they're looking for. I read about a company that's working at offering flights into space for the general public. This company's called Virgin Galactic. Maybe you've heard about them. And they're in the process of becoming a licensed carrier to fly people into space. The tickets cost $250,000 each. And you can put your name on the waiting list. Apparently, as of a while ago, there's more than 500 passengers that have put deposits on tickets. Virgin Galactic says that the passengers will be able to experience the silence and weightlessness of space, able to fly at 2,500 miles per hour, more than three times the speed of sound. Virgin Galactic promises its customers, life will never be quite the same again. Life will never be quite the same again. That's what they promise their customers. They might get a thrill, but it won't last, and it won't bring life and peace. Life and peace tonight cannot be found on a flight to space. It can only be found in Jesus Christ. You can't find it at a resort or a restaurant. You can't find it at a golf course or a game. You can't find it in technology or in talent. There's only one place, and that's in the Lord Jesus. You can't find it in paychecks and profits. You can't find it anywhere else on this earth. There is only one door. There's only one place to find life and peace. Life, real life, eternal life is found when we yield our spirit, our affections to Jesus, and through that find purpose and meaning in life. When we give up our self-love and are filled with His love, life will never be the same. It won't. It'll be different than how it used to be. Colossians 3 verse 3 says, for you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Oh, the peace that comes when the meaning and purpose and affection in our lives is totally found in Jesus. Peace is one of the fruits of the Spirit. You know, we don't have to keep up with the Joneses anymore. We don't have to worry about who gets the credit or the attention. We don't need to make anyone think that we're in or with it. We don't need to fear the future. We don't need to hide or cover up sins or mistakes, because we are living for Jesus and because He has created a new spirit within us. Dear friends, tonight, when the life and peace of Jesus is at the core of your life, it'll produce attitudes, it'll produce feelings, it'll produce emotions and thoughts that are peaceful. And that will be much easier on the outer circle, on the body part of your being. Did you know that? Did you know that when the inner circle is where it ought to be, and when Jesus is in control of that inner circle, it affects the outer circle? It really does. It affects a person's health. Did you know that when fear or anxiety or guilt are present in your life, your body produces a hormone called cortisol? Cortisol sets other chemicals or hormones off in your body, and your heart starts to pound, and your blood pressure goes up. Your breath gets short. Chest gets tight. You start to sweat. That's what happens when a person lives in fear and guilt. And that affects the outer circle. Guilt is another condition that affects both soul and body. Guilt will wear you down physically and emotionally. I believe Psalms would teach that. David understood how that works. It can be the case that guilt can cause emotional breakdown or depression. Not always, but it can be. Guilt can also lead to severe diseases because it breaks down a person's immune system. Studies show that guilt can cause cancer. Guilt is the result of violating God's law and the conscience He has placed in our spirit. Tonight, I'm so thankful that there is a remedy. Are you experiencing life, real life in Jesus? Or are you trying to run your own life? And are you finding that it isn't producing the results? Well, that's what you will find. You know that. Tonight, confess whatever sin is there. Give your life to Jesus. Let Him take control. Let Him give you liberty, leadership, and life. That's what He wants to do. I promise you, life will never be the same. When you make that choice, when you stick with that choice, life will be better than how you ever knew it. Tonight, if you have not experienced new life in Christ, if you have never been born again, tonight is your opportunity. Don't put it off another day. Believe me, you don't know what you're missing. Yes, the Christian life is a battle, but I tell you what, living in sin is hard. The way of the transgressor is hard. New life in Christ will bring you peace and freedom like you have never experienced before. Let's sing an invitation song. What shall we sing tonight?